Thank you, Father, that we can be here tonight. And Lord, the years that we are reflecting on and talking about, it's only by your grace, and you get all the glory. Over the years, Lord, there have been those things that have come across the pathway, and not every day has been pleasant, not everything has been easy or fun. But you have proven yourself faithful, and we want to praise you. And I pray tonight, as we turn to your word, we turn to an old favorite passage of Scripture. Be our teacher, instructor. Be glorified in what is said and done. In your name I pray. Amen. Well, take your Bibles and turn to Proverbs 3. I want us to turn to a familiar passage of Scripture, Proverbs chapter 3, and we're only going to look at the first 10 verses rather than 35. I'll be lucky to get through the 10 verses with my track record, won't I, as opposed to trying to deal with all 35. But in this passage, I want us to look at, interestingly enough, each of these first 10 verses, you can group them in groups of 2, 1 and 2, 3 and 4, and so on, right through the 10 verses. And we're going to discover that it speaks of things that are of real profit to us. How many of you like things that are profitable to you? Certainly we do. In the realm of finances, that's just good business, isn't it, for a business man or a corporation? It's always the concern about the bottom line. After all this is said and done, how much profit will we gain from this? Well, we're not going to be talking about monetary things by way of profit this evening. We want to talk about things that are good to us as individuals, things to profit us in our spirit, things that would profit us in our lives as we try to live a life that is honoring and glorifying to the Lord. So having said that, let's look at these first 2 verses. Notice it says, "My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments." Forget not my law. In Deuteronomy chapter 8, if you'd take your Bibles and turn there, Moses was reminding the children of Israel of things of importance. And notice in Deuteronomy chapter 8, we just start at verse 11, Moses said, "Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes, which I command thee this day." Look at verse 19. "And it shall be, if thou do at all forget the Lord thy God and walk after other gods and serve them and worship them, I testify against you this day that you shall surely perish." What Solomon say in our text verse, "My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments." How did Israel do? What was the record? Sadly, Judges chapter 3, verse 7, it tells us just one example of that. "And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and forgot the Lord their God, and served Balaam and the groves," or the idols. And so, even though we know what we're supposed to do, sadly, God's own do not always do that. The Psalm 119 is distinctive for what One reason. What do you know about Psalm 119? Longest one in the whole Bible, isn't it? And the psalmist was very intent on doing exactly this very thing, keeping the word of the Lord and not forgetting. That's what our instruction is in our text. My son, forget not my law. Listen as I point out several of these reminders in Psalm 119, verse 16. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. Verse 83, the psalmist said this, I am become like a bottle in the smoke, yet do I not forget thy statutes. 93, I will never forget thy precepts, for with them thou hast quickened me. 109, my soul is continually in my hand, yet I do not forget thy law. 141, he said, 141, oh yeah. I am small and despised, yet I do not forget thy precepts. 153, consider mine affliction and deliver me, for I do not forget thy law. Finally, 176, I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek thy servant, for I do not forget thy commandments. So we see the psalmist, that was something that he was very intent on, not forgetting God's word, not forgetting God's law, but let the writer of Proverbs tells his son, don't forget my law, but let your heart keep my commandments. Let your heart keep my commandments. You know that's suggestive to us. We talk about, you know, you've got to put your heart into something, don't we? We often talk about how that it's possible for a person to do something, a person to go through the motions, but their heart not in it. And when we talk about doing something with your heart, we're talking about one which is committed, aren't we? Something that it's important to them. Something that I will do this. I may have to let other things, but I'm going to do this because I ought to be doing that. Well, that's the attitude that we need to have toward God's word. That we not forget his word, and that our obedience to the Lord not just be with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, that we are, our relationship with the Lord is so important, we put our heart into it. Well, then where's the profit in that? Verse 2, for length of days and long life and peace, shall they add to thee. Length of days, long life, and peace shall they add to thee. Exodus chapter 20, the chapter that records for us the giving of the law. Exodus 20, verse 12. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 14. Listen as we read what is recorded there. And the pages just got all stuck together with honey, I guess. 1 Kings 3, 14. And if thou wilt walk in my ways, to keep my commandments, or my statutes, and my commandments, as thy father David did, then will I lengthen thy days. That was God's word to Solomon, the one that would be the next king after David passed on from this life. And that was a promise that God made to him, just like there's a promise here in verse 2. profit, length of days, long life, peace they'll add to you. If I do what? If I am careful to be obedient to the word of God. Proverbs 4, verse 10, as we talk about long life. Hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many. Deuteronomy, once again, Deuteronomy chapter 4, listen to these words as I read verse 40. It says, thou shalt therefore keep his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee this day, that it may go well with thee and with thy children after thee, and that thou mayest prolong thy days upon the earth, which the Lord thy God giveth thee forever. Deuteronomy 6, verse 2 says, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee, thou and thy son and thy son's sons, all the days of thy life, and that thy days may be prolonged. How many of you hope for a long life? Hey, here's one of the ways that we find in Scripture. Now, God has our days numbered, doesn't he? We don't know how many days he's going to give us. And we take certain steps to do what we can to live longer. We're supposed to cut out certain kinds of foods. We're supposed to, it's always connected to food, isn't it? Isn't that something? I wonder if there's any sin attached to eating. Huh. How did sin enter? Through the mouth. Kind of an interesting thought, isn't it? And you know so many things that are not good for us, it's things that we eat. And we take steps, we cut this out, and we make sure we do this and we do that, and we exercise, unless you're like Alicia, she's, what do you call it, radical about it. I said, what'd you do to your leg? Well, I have shin splints because I was running too fast before I warmed up properly. Now I've damaged my leg. You know, she's a girl that I've just known her for a week and a day, I guess. But I have learned that evidently exercise and activity, it's important to her. She likes to do those things. And we do those things to keep healthy. We do what we can. Well, spiritually speaking, here we go. Verses 1 and 2. Length of days, long life, and peace will be added to us in relationship to how we respond to God's word, how we put ourselves into keeping and obeying what he says to us. That's our profit. Well, let's go on to verses 3 and 4. We've got to hurry, don't we? Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Well, I wonder what that means. Well, you know, there is a sense in which the Israelites, in looking at the instruction of keeping close to God's word, they took that to heart. In Exodus 13, verse 9, it's the time of the Passover out of the land of Egypt, and God was giving Moses instructions to tell the Israelites how that they were to teach these principles and these truths about how God had delivered them from the land of Egypt. And notice in verse 8 of Exodus 13, and thou shalt show thy son in that day, saying, this is done because of that which the Lord did unto me when I came forth out of Egypt. And it shall be a sign unto thee upon thine hand, and for a memorial between thine eyes, that the Lord's law may be in thy mouth, for with a strong hand hath the Lord brought thee out of Egypt. And we find this in other references. It talks about a sign on your hand or between your eyes, and you know that in time the Israelites took that literally, and they constructed little leather boxes. Remember what they're called? Phylacteries. Little leather boxes, and they would take scrolls, tiny scrolls, and they would write portions of God's word upon them. And they would seal those in that little leather box. And with the leather straps, they would either strap them on their left arm, their left hand, or they would actually take that little leather box and they would strap that so that it was between their eyes. Well, that's one way that the Israelites took that to heart about binding them about thy neck and writing them on the table of your heart. But I think the whole point is that the writer is suggesting to us to make sure you see these as important. Don't just cast those aside, but you keep them close to you. Keep them close. Yes, the Jews literally strapped it to them. But you know, sadly, even though they had the law strapped to them, yet they still, many, many times, were not what they should have been in their hearts to the Lord. And they missed the point. The point is, don't just necessarily literally tie it on to you, but let it become a part of you. Keep it so close that you can be reminded of it at any time. It says, let not mercy and truth forsake you. Mercy, concern for other people. That's, you know, if a person shows mercy, they are thinking of others. Proverbs 11, verse 17. It says, the merciful man doeth good to his own soul, but he that is cruel troubleth his own flesh. Proverbs 14:21 says this, he that despiseth his neighbor sinneth, but he that hath mercy on the poor, happy is he. And so we find other times where it mentions the importance of this very thing, of being merciful. And not only are we to be concerned about mercy not forsaking us, but truth, honesty. Isn't that another word for truth? You know, if you're not dealing in realms of truth, you are not being honest. Deuteronomy 25. Deuteronomy 25. We pick up at verse 13, and listen as Moses said this, thou shalt not have in thy bag different weights, a great and a small. Thou shalt not have in thine house different measures, a great and a small. But thou shalt have a perfect and a just weight, a perfect and a just measure shalt thou have, that thy days may be lengthened in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. For all that do such things, that have double standards, you know, when you have, and we know back what this is referring to, in the days when they didn't have the kind of measuring cups that we have. They didn't have the scales like we have. It was perhaps systems of balances, weights and balances. And what this is talking about is the fact that when you have something that you want to sell, and your neighbor comes along and you say, well, I want to buy so many measures of wheat for my livestock. And you go into your house and you get a small measure. And you tell him, this is so much, and you put that on one side. And then you start measuring out. To whose advantage is that transaction going to be? It's going to be to yours, isn't it? You are cheating him. But when it's time for you to buy, you have a larger measure. And you once again say, oh, this is accurate. This is what it amounts to. And when we use pounds, we would say, well, instead of us now with 16 ounces, you know that this thing weighs 19 ounces. But you, oh, it's a pound. And so now you are, okay, I will buy that from you. To whose advantage is that? Once again, it's to the crook, isn't it? And the Lord says, those that do that are an abomination. And there ought not to be. We as believers, back to our text, Proverbs 3, let not mercy and truth forsake you. In all honesty, is there anything in the world worth being dishonest for when it comes to buying and selling and dealing with other people? Can you think of anything? Well, how come so many people are crooks when it's just the good old human nature way, isn't it? And the writer of Proverbs said, let not mercy and truth forsake you. Deal in honesty. Be an honest person. Well, what's the profit? Well, you're not going to get as much if you're buying grain from your neighbor as you could if you used it. No, what's the profit? Verse 4. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. I'm so thankful that they're both listed there. Finding good understanding and favor in the sight of, you know, a lot of times people, their only concern is as long as it looks good to whom? Huh? Man. As long as you have so-and-so convinced. Man looks on the outward appearance. But God looks on the heart. And so many times we're only concerned about, well, he was satisfied, she was satisfied, what's the big deal? The big deal is, was God satisfied? Was he pleased? We deal in mercy and truth. It's always going to be that which is going to result in, it's going to be, you're going to find favor in the eyes of God and man. Let's make sure we're interested in pleasing both. As we think about both, I think of, remember in the New Testament when our Lord was a young lad, in Luke chapter 2, Luke chapter 2, verse 52, it was after Jesus had stayed in Jerusalem and his parents had gone on thinking he was with the caravan and with a family member or something, and they had gotten out of the city and they discovered that, where's Jesus? I don't know. I thought he was with you. I thought he was with you. And they had to go back and they found him in the temple talking to the wise old men, questioning them and being questioned, asking them questions and them asking him questions about the law. And after that interchange with his parents, he said, okay, I'll go home with you. Didn't you understand? I was just busy about my father's business. But, you know, I know it's important for me to go home. And so he willingly went back to Nazareth with Joseph and Mary. Look at verse 42. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with whom? With God and man. And that's what we see in our text this evening. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about your neck. Write them upon the table of your heart. And the result, the profit, it's going to be well-pleasing in the eyes of both God and man. You know, I am at a crossroads right here, and the crossroads tells me that it's 28 minutes after 7, and I still have 3 more of these duplicates to deal with. Would anybody be interested in coming back next week and listening to the other 3? Now, I didn't do that 39 years ago. I guess I spoke more or quicker, talked faster. My wife says no. What's that? Oh, yeah. Just shook the innocent one here. But anyway, I don't want us to... You folks are a very gracious audience, and I know that over the 39 years I have gone over, if we would tell, how many hours beyond closing time have you folks sat and listened? That would be something to figure out, wouldn't it? If somebody could figure that out. Let's stand and we'll be dismissed in prayer, and we'll continue on, Lord willing, this next week. Thank you, Father, for these things that we see in your word that seem so practical to us, things that seem so simple to look at them, and yet, Lord, they require earnest devotion. They require really just us putting our whole heart into it, this matter of keeping your word, obeying, obedience. What a challenge that is sometimes with these old sinful natures, though we know positionally we're dead in Christ to the things of the sin, but these old sinful natures like to rear up their ugly heads and tempt us. And then we think about mercy and truth, being kind to others, considering others rather than ourselves, being truthful, honest in what we do and say, and how we conduct ourselves. We thank you for the prophet. We thank you for the fact that this is one of those instances that you've actually told us. If we do our part, this is what you will do to benefit us, and how we praise you for it. Dismiss us with your blessing on us as we go our way. In your name, amen. And you are dismissed.